Welcome to Encounter, the show that brings you the life-changing encounters of ordinary people that launch them into lives of extraordinary mission. My name is Patrick Rice, and I'm joined in the studio with my brother in Christ, Dan Demite.
Patrick, what's up, man?
Dan, I'm so excited because we have an awesome man of God. His name is Michael Sullivan. He is a licensed attorney living in Chicago who is doing amazing things for the church. He is the executive producer of the new documentary, Fearless, a documentary on the Holy Spirit and evangelization. He's going to be sharing with us about this film,
wow,
about what God is doing in the new evangelization right now, and he's going to, I think, stir up faith right now. So if you're driving, just keep your hands on the wheel, okay?
Oh,
if you're walking,
man,
you might want to sit down, all right?
Sit down.
Because the power
out
of God is going to be witnessed and manifest too.
Woo.
So, Dan, can you start us off in prayer?
Yeah, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
Lord, we pray that the power of God would enter our listeners' lives right now. Come, Holy Spirit, let your power flood them, Lord. Let your love flood them. Let them experience the fullness that you have for our lives, Lord. We want everything that you have. Lord, we don't want to contain you in a box anymore. We want you to break the box of our minds, the box of our hearts, and we just want all of you to fill us, Lord. Fill us up with your love, with your wisdom, with your knowledge, with your power, with your glory. Lord, we pray that we would experience what it means to walk with you in the garden once again, to have you walking with us in our daily lives, to hear your voice, to see your presence, to experience your presence in our daily lives, Lord. Lord, we pray that you would make us a resurrection people, a people filled with joy and hope and love, a people that experience your presence right here, right now.
A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you would show us what this actually looks like, it's meant to look like in our life, that our life would manifest and be a conduit of the power of God, that we wouldn't just be able to talk about you, but we'd be able to demonstrate your presence, your love, and your goodness for all those that we meet. So Lord, I pray that those words on that page would become words walking in our lives. And we pray all these things in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Whoa.
Oh, man.
You feel that?
Yeah.
So Dan, We're talking about Fearless, okay, this new film. I think, like, a lot of our listeners probably have already heard about this. There's, you know, it's all over Facebook and the internet webs and things like that. Now we're bringing it to the airwaves, okay? So, also, I got the chance to be involved and featured in this documentary. So I want to share with our listeners kind of the backstory of Fearless. But before that, I want to talk about, I think, The Fearless is trying to answer the missing piece of evangelization. What I think we as a church have been, I think, culturally missing in evangelization, and that's the divine power, the power of the Holy Spirit, not just something that happens inside the four walls of the church, but something that's meant to happen outside the four walls of the church. And so I feel like there's one scripture verse in particular that really speaks to the need that we as Christians, as Catholic Christians, need to actually kind of be aware of. And I prayed 1 Corinthians 4:20, the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. But 1 Corinthians is like this template of the role of God's power in evangelization. And before I'm gonna read the scripture. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Here we go. Yeah, this is 1 Corinthians 2, and Paul's talking about the power of God. And one of the things that I think is happening in the church is that we have this sense that evangelization is a matter of persuasion, that I need to have the right arguments, that I need to have the right knowledge to present to people, and mm-hmm. that with the I can persuade them mm-hmm. with through my wisdom, through my presentation of the truth. Right,
so and it's a matter of talk, right? If I talk enough to this person and they listen enough, then they'll be persuaded.
One of my friends, he's a fellow youth minister. He's on, you know, a bunch of different evangelization forum pages on Facebook. He had this quote up. He quoted, you know, a prominent Catholic theologian who talked about the role of arguments in atheism. And this theologian was commenting about how atheists have all these arguments and Catholics are being pulled out of the church because of arguments. And he basically said, we can't hug people back into the church. They left because of arguments. Therefore, they're going to come back because of arguments. We just need better arguments. We have the truth. They've got the imitation. And it really makes sense. Like, if that were true, then all we'd have to do is learn a bunch of apologetics, and then everyone would be saved and back in the church and living again. But I feel like that's been tried, and it hasn't been working. Mm-hmm. And so he posted that, and the, kind of the takeaway was, we just need better. We need arguments. We need science, philosophy, reason. And I'm not saying we don't need that.
Yeah,
I'm saying we definitely need that. But if that's all we need, I think we're missing it. And then right away at the top of the post on the comment section, there was an acquaintance of his who I did not know who said, I've read all of the arguments for Christianity, and I'm not convinced by it. And then there's 57 comment thread of a bunch of Catholic ministers using arguments to try and convince him. And he'd be coming up with things like the proof of the resurrection, the proof of, the problem of evil, how we solve that evil as a privation. And he kept coming up with counterpoints that to him, he just didn't find what they were saying convincing or compelling.
When I was in college, I remember I really felt like the way to evangelize people was to persuade them with arguments. And have you ever been in one of those chat rooms where like, you're just going back and forth and like it's two people arguing and it's just it just gets nowhere, right?
Yeah.
Like and it's because we're lacking what is it that transforms the human heart and mind into Christianity? It's the encounter with Jesus Christ.
Wait,
right?
What's the show called?
Oh, Encounter.
Listeners, you are at the right place.
but it's so true. And it was so amazing how in college, my goal was to argue people back into the church or to convince people that the church was truth, right? But when that changed in me, when my goal became to allow them to experience the love of God, I started seeing so much more fruit, right? Like, because then they're hungry to discover truth. And the truth isn't, there is, of course, objective truth, but the fullness of truth is a person. It's an encounter with Jesus Christ. And only in and through Christ are our minds fully renewed and fully transformed so that all truth makes sense. Like, and so the arguments, apologetics, they're wonderful. They're necessary. They're needed. We should have that for sure in human conversations. But void of the encounter with Jesus Christ, it doesn't bear the kind of fruit that you're talking about.
And so this is actually in 1 Corinthians 2, Paul says this. He said, I was with you in weakness and fear and trembling, and my message and my preaching were not with persuasive words of wisdom, but with a demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith might not rest upon the wisdom of men, but upon the power of God.
Wow. You want to read that again?
I'm going to read that again. I was with you in weakness and fear and much trembling. That's verse 3. And my message and my preaching were not with persuasive words of wisdom, but in a demonstration of Spirit and power, that your faith might not rest upon the wisdom of men, but upon the power of God. So there's like, I feel like there's kind of two initial evangelization methods when we're talking about initial evangelization. Persuasion evangelization, we're going to try and persuade you and, be a C.S. Lewis on the campus or whatever, Or there's power evangelization where I'm going to demonstrate the reality that I'm preaching. And when you look at what Jesus did, he did power evangelization. He proclaimed the kingdom and then he demonstrated it with sign, wonder, miracle, something that was supernatural in essence, that, it was God's power. It was a demonstration of his Spirit and power. And so I really feel like that's exactly what we're rediscovering right now as a church. And what I think this documentary is bearing witness to.
Yeah.
What does it look like? I don't know. Like, we need examples of what this looks like.
Yeah. Here in a little bit, we're going to bring Michael Sullivan on and he's going to share about this documentary Fearless. And I think the word the name of that, the documentary is so critical, right? It's Fearless. And if we just think back to the pontificate of John Paul II, what was his key phrase all the time?
Be not afraid.
Be not afraid, right? And he wanted to open wide the doors of the church so that the church would go into the world once again, right? That we can't hide behind these four walls. That the church was meant to go into the world and to bring the presence of God into the world to re-evangelize culture, to renew culture, to restore culture. And the way in which we do that is by being not afraid,
yep.
to be not afraid to bring the power of God, be not afraid to ask the power of God to come into the moment, right? That I'm going to pray with this person right now, and I'm going to ask the power of God to come, and I'm not going to be afraid of that. I'm not going to be afraid to engage this person on a deep conversation about what they, if they've encountered Jesus before, and if Jesus has transformed their life. We need to be fearless. And I think so often the Lord wants to do bigger and greater things in our lives. That's the Lord's hunger. His hunger is to do more, to give more, to pour himself out more. God is a God of more, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's a father. God the Father, a father always wants more for his children. So he wants more for you. And the way in which he gives more is by us setting aside our fear and allowing him, inviting him in for his power.
Yeah. So without further ado, we are going to welcome on the show and celebrate Michael Sullivan. Give it up for Michael.
Hey, Michael.
Yeah, you're awesome.
Hey, thanks for having me. I'm so excited to join this conversation. I'm chomping at the bit. I'm like, yeah, that's my journey too. So I'm excited to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
That's awesome. So Michael, I want our listeners to hear about your story. But first of all, I want to give them a context for how we all got connected here. Okay.
Awesome.
So, once again, the documentary is Fearless, and you can learn about it at fearlessdocumentary.net.
That's
and,
right.
And it all started like this. There is a veteran filmmaker who worked for BBC, 20th Century Fox, Paramount Communications. She's an absolute veteran. She's made both secular films and actually in this season of her life has been focusing on Catholic-themed documentaries. So her son...
Mara Smith.
Her son is a young adult, and he went to an ecumenical conference, and they were talking, and they were really preaching and focusing on the power of God, in particular healing, and he saw all these healings. And then when he met non-Catholic Christians there, he thought that Catholics didn't believe in the power of God or healing. They just don't see Catholics doing this. And so he came back from the conference really built up, but with this sense of challenge that, like, oh my gosh, people need to know that the Catholics need to know this. Non-Catholics need to know that this is part of our Catholic faith. And
Absolutely.
So she got convicted and she started doing research and she thought to herself, you know, I need to know what's out there right now. What's happening in the Catholic Church? So she came across a book from Dr. Mary Healy called Healing, Bringing the Mercy of God into the World. And so she read Dr. Mary Healy's book, and Dr. Mary Healy is a member of the Pontifical Biblical Commission, kind of a big deal, and she's a professor at Sacred Heart Major Seminary in Detroit. So Mara reads that book, gets convicted. There's testimonies of healing, of the biblical basis of how this is our Catholic heritage, how to pray for healing and how to see healing happen. And so she sees that Dr. Mary Healy is connected to the ministry, Renewal Ministries, in Ann Arbor, Michigan. And so she calls up Renewal Ministries and says, hey, do you guys know anyone that's connecting healing ministry with evangelization? And they said, oh yeah, we have our guy is Father Matthias Thelen. And hopefully our listeners are familiar with Father Matthias. He's done so much ministry around the Midwest, healing ministry. And so they put her in contact with Father Matthias. And then Father Matthias, you know, talked about the stuff that he does, healing service he does. And then Morris asked, do you know anyone that's doing this kind of outside the four walls of the church? And so he immediately connected her with myself and Aaron Richards. So we do a lot of street ministry, collegiate ministry, and we actually pray in the power of God for people that don't even, you know, believe in God, know God, and we've seen a lot of fruit just in what we've been doing. So anyways, she connected with us. And then, you know, the whole idea of sending film crews out to follow us, to follow Father Matthias, and then lo and behold, Fearless starts to come together, and you're getting these examples of what the power of God looks like in various contexts of evangelization. And then Maura ends up getting connected with Michael, and she's in need of extra production work, and Michael has a background in this kind of media. So Michael becomes the executive producer of Fearless. So Michael, am I missing anything?
No, I mean, I think just the only I would say that, you know, the thing is that I think that God has all of us on this kind of journey of discovering his power. And I think that, you know, there's no coincidences, which is why, you know, we all got brought together with our own talents and part to play in this whole thing in order to get this word out into the church, because there really is a paradigm shift that needs to take place within evangelization. And it's almost like you can feel the hunger that's on the earth among our people in order to get this message. And so I'm so excited to be involved with this project and to get into the hands of every Catholic.
Amen. So Michael, can you tell us what's your story of being awoken? I mean, how did the power of God start to manifest in your life? How did you become more effective in your evangelization?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, very quickly, I was a cradle Catholic, and but kind of fell away from the faith after high school, and was kind of a searcher and a seeker. But after college, I came back to my faith, and I was awoken. I think the truth of the church's teaching, and also the reality of the sacraments, and that really made me on fire for the church's teaching, and really believing that the church is true and what the church holds is true. And so my evangelization for a long time, and just like as Dan was talking about, I mean, I was fairly good at it. I mean, I was good at helping to argue with people, but argue people in such a winsome way. I mean, I'd have conversations with people and they'd say, wow, I never heard the Catholic faith explained like that. And you just have this sense of like really being able to be winsome in these arguments. But you guys, do you know how many people I actually brought into the Catholic Church by doing that?
How many?
Over years. Zero.
Wow.
Zero. Okay, and I was my heart was so for the awakening of our people and to see our faith come alive that after law school I had an opportunity, after working in our family business for a number of years, I had an opportunity to be involved with an evangelization project in Chicago called the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy. And we were really doing, like, at the heart of that was John Paul II's vision for the new millennium. And so I was the director of mission advancement and evangelization. And I just started to come up against the wall of frustration and saying, you know, like, what we got, we're missing something. And so that really kind of led me on a journey of realizing that the early church didn't, that's not how the early church evangelized. The early church evangelized with power, with the power of healing, with prophetic words, with manifesting the presence and the power of God to people. And even you see this in Acts as well, when Paul goes to one of the Greek towns and you see that he's like arguing with them.
Yeah, yeah,
and it
Athens,
says that there's
right?
not much fruit. And then he goes to the next one. It's like he learned his lesson and he did miracles, and the miracles had tons of fruit. And so this is the journey that I began to step out in and really to go and to try to go to see and to connect with people who were walking in it. And that's ultimately how we all got connected, is that I was on that journey and started to see miracles and started to see God showing up in my own life and in the life of my family. And it's just been a wild adventure. And so it's happening. And I think that we're at a point where it's getting ready to really be a major paradigm shift.
Michael, can you share with us one story of maybe like one of the first times that you saw a miracle happen in your evangelization?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let me tell you about, let me give you two.
Okay.
Okay? So just last week, I got a call from a young woman who asked me if I would be her godfather. And she's coming into the church this Easter, and she said to me that she didn't realize that she needed to have a godfather. And when she was told that by the priest, she immediately said, oh, I want Michael to be my godfather. And the reason why was because, several months ago, I was coming out of the church, and this is down in inner city Chicago, and I saw this woman on the street, and I went up to her, and I felt like the Lord was calling me to speak to her. And so I went up to her, and I engaged her in a conversation, And it was very clear to me, like the Lord kept on like poking me in the belly saying, you know, I want you to pray for this woman. I want you to give her a prophetic word. And so I asked her, I said, hey, can I pray for you? And so I prayed for her and I gave her a prophetic word, which rocked
Michael,
her world.
Michael, this is so good. We're going to have to go to a break, but I don't think anyone is going to be switching the radio station. So you're listening to Encounter, a production of St. Gabriel Radio. And on the after the break, we're going to hear the rest of this story of Michael's evangelization. Welcome back to Encounter, the show that brings you the life-changing encounters of ordinary people that launch them into lives of extraordinary mission. We're joined back with Michael Sullivan. Michael Sullivan is the executive producer of Fearless, a documentary on the Holy Spirit and evangelization. And Michael, you were sharing with us the story of being in downtown Chicago and being prompted to pray with this woman. You said you felt like God wanted you to give her a prophetic word. And I just want our listeners to know, when he talks about getting prompted to give a prophetic word, getting a prophetic word simply means you're hearing what God wants to say to another person and declare that to them. And when it's authentic, it has a powerful impact. So, Michael, keep telling us about that.
Yeah, and I just want to say that like part of the thing about growing in that is God speaks to each person in a unique way. And so, in a sense, as you step out in a fearless way and begin to learn how God speaks to you, then you're going to know those signs. So for me, it was kind of like an electric shock to my gut, if you like. And then what happens when I step into the prayer is I start to see things. And so I start to describe what I'm seeing. Now, to be honest with you, I can't even tell you now what I saw, okay? Because it's not really for me. It's for the person that you're ministering to. Mm. And so it's for them. And the thing is, I mean, sometimes I can remember what the things that I say, but it's kind of like, you know, it wasn't important for me. And so it was important for her. And so the words that were spoken, they carry the presence and the power of God. And, you know, this is so important, Patrick, is that we have, you know, the passage of scripture where Jesus gives the promise to Peter that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. And so often we have this idea that these are the gates of the church and that hell is trying to get in, but, you know, we're going to withstand and we're going to hold out and we're going to, you know, it's almost like the Benedict option begins from that sort of posture that, well, hey, we can withdraw from society and we can preserve ourselves and make sure we don't get infected by this evil. But that's not what it's talking about. It's talking about us riding out to those gates of hell. And where are the gates of hell? They're around people's hearts.
Yeah.
Around people's hearts who are in darkness, who are born into a kingdom of darkness. And what Christ did on the cross was to launch us into a revolution whereby we have power to break down those gates.
Woo.
So when I gave that prophetic word, her name is Sarah, when I gave her that prophetic word, the Holy Spirit was on those words, and they went into her ears, and they went into her heart, and it went into her spirit and broke through those gates, and it went straight into her spiritual DNA, where she was made in the image and likeness of God, and her destiny and her purpose was released, because it was like it was vibrating within her very DNA that was created by God started vibrating within her, and her very bones start testifying to the reality of Jesus Christ within her. So, I'm giving you kind of like the supernatural, like blow by blow of what was happening there. But on the street, for anyone who's looking at it, it looks like I've got, you know, there's one guy who's bald and who's got his hand on this woman. He's got tattoos and you know, and it's like, oh, okay, nothing really major is happening here. Well, it rocked her world.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So we exchanged contacts and had some follow-up conversations. March 4th, I found out that she's coming into the church.
And amen.
So praise God.
Amen.
Wow,
praise
the Lord. That's what I call power evangelization.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah. And I think, Michael, like you said, you're explaining it in a very, you're explaining the very supernatural realm that's happening and what's taking place in the soul. But from the outside, it's a very normal, natural thing, right? That the Lord makes the supernatural natural. And listeners, a prophetic word doesn't have to be like when you're convicted, when you see someone and you see sadness upon them and you're convicted, they just need joy. That's the Lord speaking to you, that you've been permeated by the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit's convicting your heart to speak joy upon that person, right? And so, like, when you see someone in need of prayer, when you see someone in need of encouragement, of love, of truth and beauty and goodness, you share that with them, that's the voice of the Lord speaking through you. I think sometimes we're like, oh, I don't have the voice of the Lord inside of me. Yes, you do. Like, yep. When you see people in darkness and your heart cries out for them, share with them what God is putting on your heart. That if you see them, you're like, wow, God has something bigger for you. God has a bigger plan for you. He wants to clear away that darkness and fill you with light. That simple message is a message of truth that people need to hear.
And I love how, Dan, we have a lot of people that are in ministry on the show. They like professionally work in the church, and they'll share stories about being at a conference, and people want it at a conference. But Michael's not working in the church. He's on the street. He's like, you know,
he's a licensed attorney.
He's bringing it right where he is. And we need that. We need people that believe that their commissioning in the secular world is just as important as commissioning in the church world.
Yeah, definitely.
So if that's you,
I want to describe, I mean, what you guys are talking about, what we're talking about, is what I like to call pink spoon Catholicism.
Michael, okay? That's weird.
Pink spoon. And so, yeah, like, what does that mean? Well, in America, we have this ice cream chain called Baskin-Robbins, and, you know, the 31 flavors. And so you can go in there, and before you order your scoop of ice cream, you can ask them, hey, I'd like to taste the Rocky Road, or I'd like to taste the strawberry ice cream. And what they do is they give you a little taste on a pink spoon, and you taste it, and you're like, that tastes good, and I'd like to have some more. So what we have to be as Catholics is we need to be pink spoon Catholics, whereby we are actually giving people a taste of the kingdom of God.
Yes.
You know, when I think about, like, we have this tremendous grace in the church of the sacraments, but the only people that can receive the sacraments are those who are initiated into the new covenant, people like ourselves. And so, but the reason why we can receive the sacraments is so that we can be a sacrament to those who are not in the church, those who are in the world, so that we can extend the kingdom of light further and further until there's just no kingdom of darkness left. That's the commission.
Amen.
We're in this revolutionary movement, and the way that we advance it is by giving people a taste of the new life that we have in Christ.
Michael, we could keep talking about just this power that's available to us and keep hungering, but we need to talk about Fearless. So can you kind of give us a synopsis? This is Mara Smith's the director, kind of telling the story. What does it look like for our listeners?
Well, it's really following Mara's story and how she is discovering that that Catholics are actually praying and seeing miracles. And it's one of the inspiring points for her is in Pope Francis's encyclical Evangelii Gaudium, in the fifth chapter, when he talks about how there needs to be this new breed of spirit-filled evangelizers who are fearlessly open to the power and the working of the Holy Spirit. And so she takes that little passage and says, where in the church is this happening? And so she goes to meet experts in the church that sit on the highest councils, the Pontifical Council for the New Evangelization and for Scripture, and she then goes and looks at practitioners, someone who is doing this kind of ministry in a parish context, and then people that are doing it on the street and on college campuses. And what we do is we see the power of God. We see the testimonies of people that are being touched by God. And then we get the commentary. We get the understanding, because we need to both truth, and we also need to know the way of Jesus Christ, but we also need to know the truth of Jesus Christ in order to lead to the life of Jesus. And so we get this kind of rhythm between seeing the power of God manifesting in people's lives and then understanding, well, what's happening there, so that this is available to everybody. And that's really, I think, the message of the film. The message of the film is that this is normal Catholicism. This is not something that's extraordinary or something that is relegated to the Padre Pios of the world. Because last I looked, I don't have any stigmata in my hands. I don't think you do either, Peter, Dan.
No.
So, you know, this is what Christ did for us on the cross. And if we really understand Scripture, if we really understand sacramental theology, that's what it's all about. And so we're in this, what we really are hoping for the film is that it's going to stir up a hunger among our people, because that's really, I think, probably the biggest thing that you need in order to start stepping out with this kind of power of God, is that I had hunger. I think in all of our testimonies, there was a hunger for more. There was a frustration that what we were doing in evangelization wasn't working. It wasn't bearing fruit. Even though we have this tremendous, I mean, I like to call it the embarrassment of riches. Like, we are so rich when it comes to intellectual riches. I mean, we built Western civilization. It's an extraordinary accomplishment. And so, but that's not the whole of it. You know, we need to be able to have the presence and the power of God. And that's what Christ bought for us on the cross. That's what he wants us to take out into the world. And so that's what Fearless is really about. It's about this journey that Mara takes us on. And at the end of the film, our hope is that it's going to have create a hunger in our people that for more and to encounter this more.
So if you're listening to Michael talk about it right now, you can actually go online and watch the trailer. There's a few trailers that are out there right now. And then at the website, you can watch the first 6 minutes. It's fearlessdocumentary.net. That's fearlessdocumentary.net. You can see endorsements. Michael, can you talk about who's endorsed this film?
Oh, we've got Father Raniero Cantalamessa, who is the preacher to the papal household. I mean, a lot of people don't realize that, you know, Pope Francis, he's got a preacher, too. You know, he's got someone that you know, opens up the word to him. And that's who's endorsed our film. We also have Bishop Sam Jacobs and Bishop David O'Connell out in L.A. We've got Father Mike Schmitz. We've got Dave Nodar. We have Father Dave Pavonka. We just have so many people, Dr. Schutz, just so many authorities within the church. And in fact, probably one of the most encouraging for us is the former executive director for the USCCB's office on doctrine has written us an endorsement saying that everything in the film is doctrinally sound. And he said, but more importantly, it's inspiring. And so so we're just really encouraged by the amount of support that we've received. And I think that there's a hunger for this now, and it's the right moment for this kind of a film to be released into the body of Christ.
That's so good. Michael, I have here one of the endorsements. This is from Dr. Bob Schutz. And he said this, "Fearless is enthralling from beginning to end. Watching it is like being dropped into the middle of the Acts of the Apostles. It causes one to ask the question, what does it mean to be authentically Catholic? After watching this documentary, I wanted to share it with everyone I know. I highly recommend it. This is the new evangelization!" Exclamation point.
Amen. And the beauty is, in the church, we've heard about the new evangelization year after year after year, right? We know this language. And the popes have talked about not only the new evangelization, but the new Pentecost. Michael, can you talk about how the new evangelization and the new Pentecost, they go hand in hand?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if we really understand what Jesus did, he chose to do the Last Supper on the Feast of Passover, okay? And what Passover is really about is it's not just about getting out of Egypt, out of this place of slavery and of bondage, under this dark kingdom, through the waters of the Red Sea, for us, the waters of baptism. But it's not even about getting to the Promised Land, or it's not even about getting the law and the ways of living according to God. What it was really about was the tabernacle, the presence of God that rested in the tabernacle that Moses received from heaven. And so what do we see there? We see this presence of God, the smoke, the pillar of smoke and fire. And so what we see Jesus doing is he's saying, okay, I'm doing this on Passover because what I'm about to do with the Last Supper and with the crucifixion, the resurrection and the ascension, is that I am making you a tabernacle. I'm making each person a tabernacle, a temple, Amen. Where the presence of God rests and stays. I mean, that's actually what God wanted to begin with. He wanted each of us to have this kind of intimacy with God. And it's kind of part of the tragedy of salvation history that at Mount Sinai, they were afraid. They were afraid of that intimacy, and they didn't want it. And this is why the film's name Fearless is, because fearlessness is what God has given us. So what we see is that at the end of the book of Exodus, we see the power of God descend into the tabernacle that, that Moses had prepared. In the Acts of the Apostles, in the first chapter, what we see is the power of the descent of the Holy Spirit. Why is it tongues of fire? Because it was a pillar of fire which came into the tabernacle. Mm-hmm. And so what we are now, what Christ did for us, was to make us a living temple, a living tabernacle of the presence and the power of God. And that happened on Pentecost. And so there's lots of reasons across the history of the church. Each age has its own crisis, and then the Holy Spirit raises up a response to that crisis. And so we have incredible things that have happened. You know, the rise of the Benedictine order, the Franciscans, the Jesuits, and all of these different movements within the church were a response to a particular crisis for that time. But what is the age we're living in? What's the crisis that we're facing? What we're facing is the separation of culture from faith. Faith and culture are separated. Yep. The only answer to that problem is for every single layperson to finally come into the fullness of the inheritance that we have a right to in the new covenant with Jesus Christ, is to be a living tabernacle, to have the reality of Pentecost as it took place 2,000 years ago to take place in our lives, in my life, because that's my inheritance. That's what he gave us, and that's what his promise is to me. So a new Pentecost is nothing more than Pentecost happening in my life in a new way, and it happening every day, and a refreshment, and it continuing. A lot of people, you know, there was an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the 1960s within the Catholic Church, which launched the Catholic Charismatic Renewal. And a lot of people say, oh, well, you know, I'm looking for a refreshment or whatever. Well, and for that to happen again in my life. Well, the reality is that that's supposed to be something that's alive and falling upon us every single day. And it's something which grows and grows and grows. It's not something that just happens once.
Michael, we got to pray. We got to pray right now.
I love that.
Michael, don't just talk about Pentecost. Let's experience Pentecost. So God, this is our inheritance. Jesus, you died on the cross, not just so we could have a relationship with moral precepts, doctrines, and rules, but God, you died on the cross so we'd have an intimate relationship with the Father in and through the Holy Spirit. So Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would come and touch hearts that are hungry right now. Father, let your presence be known. Jesus, just show our listeners how much you love them. Show all of us how much you love us. I pray that your perfect love would cast out all fear. Holy Spirit, you are perfect love.
Thank you, Jesus.
Holy Spirit, go deeper. Deeper with more of your love and your power, power in the mighty name of Jesus.
Oh, amen.
Amen. Thank you,
Michael,
God.
Michael, I just love the way you explain that. Thank you so much. Just listeners, I hope you heard that, right? Like for so long growing up as a Catholic, I heard this message that I was a temple of the Holy Spirit, but I didn't understand what that really meant. Like, do you understand that what Michael just said, as a temple of the Holy Spirit, you carry the presence of God. And at one point in the Old Testament, the presence of God was limited to one space, one place. And only in the temple could you go. And you had a pilgrimage. You had to take a pilgrimage to the temple.
And you had to kill animals.
Only the high priest had access to this presence once a year, right? And so, but now, because of Pentecost, the presence of God enters every one of us. And it's no longer in one place. Whoa. It's all over the world. And then, as Catholic lay people, what do? You take the presence of God into the secular world, right? So, Michael, you are taking the presence of God onto the streets of Chicago and into your offices as a lawyer, like into your business. Lay people, Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit, in the Pentecost, the way he wanted to evangelize the world was by bringing the presence of God fully into you so you could bring the presence of God fully into the world. And what's stopping the new evangelization? What's prohibiting Pentecost and the presence of God flooding every strata of humanity? It's fear.
Yeah.
Right? And that's why we need to be fearless. Be not afraid. Allow your God-given identity as a temple of the Holy Spirit to be manifest in the world. Do not allow fear to hold you back anymore because you're hungry. I know it. Catholic people, the more and more we talk to our listeners, the more and more we talk to Catholics, you're so hungry for the world to be transformed. You don't like this secular culture. You're sad and you're brokenhearted over the state of our world. And you're trying to convince the world through arguments, through political agendas, that transformation can come. The way that transformation comes is through bringing the power and the presence of God into the world.
Wow.
And you have that. And so lay claim to your identity as a temple of the Holy Spirit and renew the world. Amen?
Stir into flame the gift that was given to you in the laying on of my hands. God didn't give you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind.
Oh,
Jesus'
man.
Name. What is this show about? Oh, yeah, Fearless. Michael, keep going. You're supposed to be talking about
the film. Yeah, so I just wanted, just as you were talking about that, I just wanted to let everybody know that Jesus gives everyone a ray gun, okay? He gives everybody a ray gun, okay?
I love ray guns.
This is kind of like my Pink Spoon story. So let me open this up a little bit more. When we go back and we look at the temple in the Old Testament, out of the side of the temple there was water, okay? Because they had so much sacrifice of blood that they had to have a stream of water which came into the temple and flushed out all that blood.
Yep.
And so out of the side of the temple you had blood and water which was flowing out of that temple. Now in Ezekiel and Revelation we have this picture of these waters coming out of the temple, and and the rivers or the trees on the sides of the river are for the healing of the nations. Well, in St. John's Gospel, we see Jesus on the cross, and when he's pierced, there's blood and water that flows out of him. Well, I'm sure that everyone has seen the image of divine mercy, where we see the resurrected Christ, and I remember go ahead.
Michael, we have to go to a break right now. You're listening to Encounter, a production of St. Gabriel Radio. And when we come back, we're going to continue to hear Michael's amazing imagery that he's going to give us about the power of God. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Encounter, the show that brings you the life-changing encounters of ordinary people that launch them into lives of extraordinary mission. And we are joined back in this. We have back in the studio Michael Sullivan, who's sharing with us this imagery of the power of God through the temple. Michael, keep going. Share with us.
Yeah, absolutely. So my funny image here is that God gives you a ray gun, okay, like in Star Wars or something. And so what we have is that, as I was saying, is that Christ is the new temple. And what we have in the image of divine mercy is we see that the blood and water which poured out on the cross has been transfigured into these rays of light and mercy of the pale ray and the red ray, and they're coming out of his heart. Well, if we look at St. John's Gospel, he says that when you abide in Christ, out of your inmost being will flow rivers of living water. Mm-hmm. And so the thing is that we don't just get to host the presence within us, but we also get to leak the presence from mm-hmm. us. Okay? So we get to have, so I always think of like out of our inmost being, flow basically those rays of light that Jesus has flowing out of him, because that's what we are. We're incorporated into his body, the temple. And so when we pray for somebody, that power of God, his blood, his water, his spirit, which is also the sacraments, that's the sacraments for us, for those who are already initiated into the new covenant. But for when we're on the street, when we're in our everyday lives, we have the ability to have that light release from our body, from our flesh, and power comes out of it. And so that's what I call, in a kind of tongue-in-cheek way, our Catholic ray gun, in order to beat back the powers of darkness. But this is a reality. It is a supernatural reality, but we have to have a way to kind of get a hold of it. And one of the things I wanted to say is that how do you get activated in this? Well, watching Fearless is going to make you hungry for it. But I also wanted to get an opportunity, Patrick, to talk about some of the plans that we have for follow-up on the Fearless documentary and how we can help to encourage people to take tiny steps to start activating their own call to be a fearless evangelizer.
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, I would say that probably for me and for, I think, in your own testimony, it's kind of like I think about the Easter Vigil when the entire church is dark, and then that Paschal candle comes in as the only light, and we all have our tapers, and we have to touch that candle. We have to touch that light, and then that light gets to be spread. Mm. So in my experience, where I really got a lot of acceleration in this was, yes, taking risk. Risk is really important. Hunger is important, then taking risk. But probably the biggest accelerator for me is getting in contact with that light, meaning somebody who is a fearless evangelizer, who is doing it, and getting close to them and being with them, asking them to pray for you, and just walking alongside them. And whether they are at a conference or giving a school or some training or whatever it might be, is to begin to get into proximity with people that are actually doing it, because that's how it grows. And if you remember on the Easter Vigil, it's pretty soon. And the entire church is filled with light, and the darkness cannot stand against it.
And what you're talking about is a culture. Like, there's a culture of light. There's a culture of fire, and then you get into that culture, and it starts to change the culture inside of you. And actually, Michael, what you're talking about, you know, in the Fearless Follow-Up, we're actually doing that here in Columbus as well. Dan, myself, other members involved with Encounter Ministries, we're starting the Encounter School of Ministry. And basically, it's that, like, basically everything we're talking about, the power of God is supernatural. And so I think a catchphrase of what God wants to do is he wants to release supernatural ministry into the lives of ordinary Catholics. And so what we're starting up is a school to train people, to get them into a culture where you have a safe environment to take risks, to grow in your gifting, to hear God's voice, to learn how to effectively pray for healing, to walk in a lifestyle of miracles. And I feel like these schools are going to become essential parts of what God wants to do to empower his people, not just people in the church, but in every walk of life.
Absolutely. Amen. Yeah. And so, and that's really, I think, you know, our hope is not just to make some kind of documentary and for everyone to go, oh, wow, that's so cool. But no, to get the fire and to get the hunger in their belly and to go to Columbus as I know, there are plans and there are people are talking and, you know, we're talking about doing one at maybe here in Chicago and maybe there's going to be one out in the West Coast and elsewhere. And so our hope is that what you are starting in Columbus is going to become a prototype, is going to become a model that can be replicated across the country and even the world, because there's just going to be so much hunger, that there's going to be so much need to be able to train and equip and raise people up. And, you know, that's really what's in Ephesians 4. You know, I mean, this whole thing about, you know, how do we become fully mature in Christ Jesus? And you need to be equipped for the ministry, and that's what you're really doing. And so so I'm excited about it, and I can't wait to be involved with
it. And if you want to, and listeners, if you're listening out there like, well, what does this look like? We actually have all the information up on our website right now. If you go to encounterschool.org, you're going to find out what we're doing right now to start this off. If you're interested in, man, I want to do something like this, go there and get in contact with us. We want to help out other people as well around the country. Dan, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm just really convicted right now that I think listeners right now are hungry to be that ray gun that Michael's talking about. Like, I just was asking myself, like, how much am I leaking? Right, like, are waters flowing forth from me? Like, am I a leaking faucet that's slowly dripping, or am I a river of love and mercy flowing forth into the world? And I. You know what? Let's be honest. Like, I don't want to just leak a little bit. I want to leak a lot. Like, I want to be a faucet fully turned on, so the life giving waters are just flowing forth from me. And then
you
want
your shadow to heal people, Dan?
That's what happens.
That's a lot of leaking.
And so I just that's my hunger. That's Michael's hunger. That's Patrick's hunger. And I want our listeners to share in that hunger. And it doesn't, like, this is for everyone. That Jesus, he wants you to fall on your knees and just beg him for that. Just fall at the foot of the cross and allow his rivers of life-giving water to flow over you. And when those little rivers fall upon you, they transform you. They wash you clean of all of your past, and they set you on a new path, right? And, like, it's not, when you get swept away in a river, the current takes you. And that's what life in the Holy Spirit is. It's that I've surrendered control, and now the current of life-giving waters is taking me, and I'm going with the current. I'm no longer fighting the current. I'm no longer afraid to get into the water. I'm with it. And when you're with it, you flow, and it's so exciting. It's so exhilarating. And the Lord wants you to become a part of his current of mercy and love in the world, like, just to heal the world and to redeem the world through his mercy. It's so exciting.
Yeah. It's so good, Dan. You're absolutely right.
Michael, I know you just have so much hunger for the Catholic Church. What is your hunger for the Catholic Church in America and throughout the world?
Yeah, well, you know, a number of years ago, the Lord gave me a word, and he said, the Great Catholic Awakening. And it's like, even when I say it now, I feel the power of the Lord kind of falling on it. And I really feel that what we are, what's the heart of the Father for our age, for our time, is a great Catholic awakening. And what does that look like? What it means, I actually identify it with Our Lady's prophecy at Fatima of the triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Because what does it mean for her heart to triumph? Our Lady's heart was totally surrendered to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, such that Jesus was born into the world. Okay? And so in order for her heart to triumph, it means that every one of her children has her heart, okay, which is you, which is me, which is every single Catholic, that we would have her heart, that we would be so given to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, that we birth Jesus into the world, okay? And what does that mean? Well, I just birthed Jesus into the world through my new goddaughter, Sarah. You know, I mean, it was through the church, and it was through, you know, it wasn't just me alone, and it was, you know, it was God. I mean, it was all of it together, you know, but the way in which the God's presence was birthed into her through me, God used me in order to do that. And, but he also needed me. He needed my participation, just like he needed the Blessed Mother's participation. She's not just some kind of vessel. She is a human being. She's a fully human being with freedom. And she said, yes. Said yes. So my heart is that the whole church would say yes, would have the heart of Mary, that we would see the triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary in our time, that the great Catholic awakening, which has already begun.
Wow, this is so good. We're about to pray. I really want to just pray for that hunger, that would just kind of be the word that's sown into good soil today. So really quick, you've been listening to obviously, Dan and I, hosts of Encounter Radio, and then we also, we've had Michael Sullivan, who's the executive producer of the documentary Fearless. And so if you can go to fearlessdocumentary.net, that's fearlessdocumentary.net, to learn more about that. And we just invite you to be a part of what God's doing. Just say, God, I want to know what you're doing, and I want to be a part of it. And we know that that is receiving a greater portion of God's power. So we can't have that without hunger. So we're just going to pray right now. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. God the Father, we love you. We praise you. We adore you. We bless your holy name. You desire that everyone would come to be conformed to the image of Jesus. God, I pray that there would be a hunger that's stirred up, that people would want to look like Jesus, to walk like Jesus, to love like Jesus, to heal like Jesus, to cast out evil spirits like Jesus, to be kind like Jesus, to release peace like Jesus, to wherever we go, to let your kingdom come, Father, and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Father, that we would stand against darkness by bringing in light, that we would let the living water flow within us and then out of us, the blood and water. So God, I pray that there would be a hunger that, yes, I want to do the works of Jesus and greater works because you're going to the Father. Lord, I pray that you would just give such a hunger for people to just say no, and to say no to fear, and to say yes to you. So let that start with perfect love in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus, we cast out all fear, and we usher in boldness. We usher in courage. Lord, we pray that courage would fall upon our listeners. We pray that your love would fall upon our listeners. Lord, I just pray that we would become vessels of the Holy Spirit, that we would lay claim to our identity as temples, and that we would bring your presence into the world. I pray that rivers of life-giving water would flow forth from us, flow forth from our tongues. They would flow forth from our actions, our interactions with people. Lord, I just pray for more, that you would do more in our listeners. Right now, I get a sense that the Lord wants to show you people. He wants to start showing you people in your daily walk, people who need his love and his mercy. And so as you walk today, listeners, I want you to be mindful of who the Lord is placing before you. And I want you to walk outside of your fear and to speak to them and to encourage them, to ask if you can pray for them and pray with them right there on the street. So Lord, open our eyes that we would see people anew today.
And, you know, I just confirm that word because as I was praying with just now, what I just feel like I want to release that every single person who is listening to this, you are going to be touched by the Holy Spirit today. You are going to be prompted to step out of your place of comfort and into a place of fearlessness to pray for someone in your day today. That's going to happen, and I feel like the Lord wants to release that. And so every single person who's listening to this radio broadcast, you are going to be touched by the Holy Spirit and called to reach out and to pray for someone today. And so I release fearlessness Amen. In you, and that you are going to take Amen. A step. It might be a tiny step. It might be a huge step. But
Praise
you are
the
going
Lord.
To take a step.
Praise
in the, name
the Lord.
Of Jesus.
Amen. Amen. You're listening to Encounter, production of St. Gabriel Radio. To learn more about us or the show, you can go to encounterradio.org. Michael, thank you so much for being on the show.
Oh, it's such a pleasure. I'm so glad to have been on, and this is just an awesome program.
Thank
All
you
right,
so much,
doing
Michael.
Amazing things.
Have a great day, listeners.
God bless you.